I don't think there's anything that makes me happier than seeing them each Sunday morning. What a gift to us. And I do think it's been interesting thinking about the sermon and thinking about those two girls back when I was in high school who invited me to church and how it changed my life. You know, my son is off running in a race, a cross-country meet today. And it's mainly, I think, because a friend of his named Aiden a couple years ago said, hey, you want to come to track practice with me? You want to try out for track? And he said, sure, I'll go do that. And he's just fallen in love with running. I don't know what's wrong with him, but he has fallen. But I mean, it's changed his life because he's just loving it. It's amazing what a difference just an invitation can make. One little thing that to us isn't a big deal at all. Those two girls, they just asked the guy to come to church, and it changed his life. Let's pray for just a minute. Lord, thank you that we keep looking for those big things, but it's so often the little shifts, the little invitations that make all the difference. Thank you for that day long ago when you called Matthew, sitting there at the tax booth, and he got up and his life was changed as he followed you. Help us this morning to hear your invitation. Help us this morning to get up and follow you. And Lord, grant us the joy of inviting others to join in with this life that is life indeed. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. So despite making fun of my son loving to run, I actually love to run too. And earlier this week, I was going out to do a little running, but it was one of those mornings, as we kids were saying, it's getting colder. I didn't feel much like it, but I kept telling myself, don't think about it. You know, just put on your shoes, just go out the door, just start running. And as I'm running, I'm not feeling it. It's tiring. Don't think about it, just keep running. And sure enough, after about 3-4 minutes, I started waking up. And I started getting my second wind, and I entered into this path that goes into the woods, and I started to praise God for the beauty of creation and what a joy it is for me to still be able to run. I don't know about tomorrow, but today I get to run, you know, and just started giving thanks and praying for, it just turns into a time of prayer for me and singing with God. It's amazing what happens in life when we follow through on something. When we don't just say, yeah, I want to be a good runner or a good lawyer or a good teacher or whatever it might be, a good parent, a good person, but we actually follow through and do the hard work that's a part of that. For us as followers of Jesus, at least I hope most of you have made that decision that you want to follow Jesus. We need to know that it's more than just coming to Jesus. It's more than just coming to church and saying, wow, this is great. Thank you, God, for your love for me. That the call is for us to follow Jesus, to follow through with Jesus, to become a part of the mission of Jesus in our world. And that it's actually when we follow through on that, when we become a part of that, that we experience this joy. It's like that second wind. It's the Spirit that fills us, and we become a part of something bigger than ourselves. This is what we were created for. And so this month, we're talking about this sermon series called Bless, B-L-E-S-S. And it's our call, our encouragement to one another to follow through on this mission that God's called us to be a part of being a blessing to the world we're living in, being a blessing to our neighbors, and you know, all the way back to Abraham in Genesis chapter, Abram in Genesis 12, he was still Abram. God says, I'm going to bless you and make a great nation of you so that you can be a blessing to the world, to the nations. I mean, it's always that way. Peter, follow me and you'll be happy. That wasn't the call. Follow me, and I'll make you fish for people. You'll experience the joy of kind of catching people, drawing people in to the loving embrace of God. That's what we're called to. That's what we want to be a part of. In this series, I'm so excited about it. And many of you are praying for specific people, like I talked to these children about, picking people that you pray would come into that loving embrace of God, come to know how much God loves them, and become a part of this mission of God, of doing good, of being good in our world. And so two weeks ago, Pastor Jonna, as we talked about being a blessing, she said, we begin with prayer. We take time to pray to God that we would be a blessing to our neighbors. And in fact, today, we've got these little wristbands that I'm going to invite each one of you to pick up on your way out today. They'll be in baskets by the doors. And they're nice and colorful, kind of Salem colors. And if you look really carefully, you'll find where it says, make me a blessing. And what I want to ask you to do is to join me each day, at least for this month that we're in, putting this on in the morning and praying, God, make me a blessing. And then as you go through the day, when you notice it, pray the prayer again. Make me a blessing, God. And let it be a reminder to you to have your eyes open. Where is God calling you to go? Who is it God is calling you to connect with? How is God calling you to be a blessing today? What's that divine interruption maybe in your day? This person, this opportunity that you didn't see coming, and it's time for you to wake up and be a blessing. So we begin with prayer. Second thing we talked about last week is to listen with care. We listen for God's voice as we pray, as we go through the door, as we go through the day. God, and as we go through doors, Lord, what would you have me do? Who is it you're leading me to? We listen to God, and we listen to those we would bless. I mean, this is one of the worst things that Christians sometimes do, is we go out to bless people without listening to them, without knowing what's on their heart or what their hopes are, dreams are, or what their concerns and anxieties are. To listen to somebody is one of the greatest acts of love. You know, for us to do that in our friendships, in our marriages, our families, to listen, and certainly if we want to be a blessing to people, to take time, listen to God, listen to those we would be a blessing to. Today what we're going to talk about is kind of a fun one. Let's eat. Hey, that's great. Today's second Sunday of the month lunch, so it's perfect, right? When I first saw this, as we were looking, John and I, at the series, and I say, oh, I'm going to preach on eating. That's great. okay, everybody, we should eat. It's good for, you know, eat healthy. What are we supposed to say about eating? You know, well, as I started working on it, what I come to understand is that eating is fundamental to living as a follower of Jesus. Isn't that good news? I told you you'd come today and I'd give you some good news. Following Jesus is central. Eating is central to following Jesus. You know, certainly you think about your own relationships and how important eating is. I mean, just it's important. But it's over meals that we often really get to know people. When I met my wife, Donna, it was over a meal. Two friends of ours invited the both of us to come together for this blind date with them. It was over, an Italian, you know, pasta meal. The next date that I had with her was over a breakfast. The next date was probably a meal also. I mean, you know, we still do that. It's one of our favorite things to do together. We're going to have a date. We often will go out to lunch together. Go out to dinner together. It's just a way for us to spend time. So important in our families. You know, studies actually show that families that, in the midst of our busy schedules, sit down for a meal together with their kids, that's one of the most influential times for children, is to sit at table, even though they most of the time would say, I don't want to. Can I go, you know, watch TV? Can I do? No, we're going to sit together as a family tonight. And actually, it's one of the most formative things for them. And doing that actually with grandparents and hearing the parent's story, like something to think about, is ask the grandparent to tell a story about when they were young, that when children either hear these stories of their grandchildren or of their grandparents, that the studies show that it builds resilience in the kids. They say, oh, you went through and you grew through. Oh, wow. And when they go through stuff, they've got some history to lean into to learn from that helps them have strength in the face of the challenges that they're enduring in their lives. So sitting down to meals, certainly in the scriptures, meals are central. All the way back to Abram when he, you might remember, invites these three visitors to come in. I mean, always he's inviting people. He's showing hospitality. These three visitors come in, and that's when he receives the blessing of this promise that Sarai, his wife, is going to bear a child within the next year. At the beginning of the Bible, all the way through, so many of the images of what's ahead, the kingdom of God to come, is all centered around a meal. Isaiah talks about on that your holy mountain, we will gather together and the shroud of death will be taken away. We'll be drinking wine. We'll be eating really rich food and we won't get fat. I don't think it says that, but you get the idea. Meals are really important. Certainly so for Jesus. His ministry was centered around meals in a lot of ways. As you read through the Gospels, you'll find them there again and again. In the Gospel of John, his first sign, his first miracle is at a wedding feast where he turns the water into wine. And the last story we have before he goes to the cross, anybody remember what it's called? The last... Yeah, you know, it's a supper. It's another meal. And it's at this meal that they get to know Jesus yet more deeply than ever before. It's around a meal that he washes their feet and he breaks the bread and says, this is my body, which is broken for you. And this is my blood, the cup, which is given for the forgiveness of your sins. It's around a meal that we develop these deeper relationships. And so as we look at the story of Jesus, we find again and again, that's where he is. He's eating with people. And it's actually one of the places where he keeps getting into trouble too, because he keeps eating with the wrong people. In that society, even more so than ours, who you eat with was a statement. If you ate with these people, that meant you accepted them. And Jesus is always eating with sinners, tax collectors, the people everybody else doesn't like, is looking down on. And yet that's where he is. They accuse him actually of being a drunkard and a glutton because he's drinking and eating with these low-life people. Maybe there's something for us to learn when it comes to eating and who we're going to eat with. Who we eat with says something about who we are. And when we eat with people, we get to know them and they get to know us, our hearts, our stories. It makes all the difference. So I want to invite you right now to listen to one of these stories. It's the story about the call of Matthew, in which Jesus will get accused yet again of eating with tax collectors and sinners. And we know tax collectors, even in our society, that's not such a good thing, right? No. In his society, they were looked down on not only because they took taxes for those who were in power, the Roman government, but also because the tax collectors would add to what they took in for their own benefit. So they were stealing from their own townspeople, and people didn't like that. When he says tax collectors and sinners, we don't really know what the sinners, you know, how many different ways could somebody be a sinner? There are lots of them. But we know it probably could have meant being an adulterer or a murderer. But more likely, it was just that they were not good religious people. That they didn't, well, like in our day, come to church or go through the ritual cleansings that they were supposed to do before meals or say the right prayers or whatever it was. For whatever the reason, they were looked down on because they were not pursuing righteousness. And for me, this is one of the key things that I'll talk about after sharing the story, is that righteousness, in the sense of pursuing that for itself, is the wrong pursuit. Something to think about for a moment. As Jesus was walking along, he saw a man called Matthew sitting at the tax booth, and he said to him, "Follow me." And he got up and followed him. And as Jesus sat at table with and was eating in the house, many sinners and tax collectors were sitting with him and his disciples. When the Pharisees saw this, they said to his disciples, "Why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners?" But when Jesus heard this, he said, I'm struggling here a little bit. When he saw this, what's that? Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. Go and learn what this means. I desire mercy, not sacrifice. For I have come not to call the righteous, but sinners. So that line, go and learn what this means. I desire mercy, not sacrifice, has been one of the key ones for me to be thinking about. You see, it goes back to the book of Hosea in the Old Testament. And this idea that the prophets kept on pounding to the people that we need to hear too. That God loves it when we gather like this morning to worship. It's fantastic. When we go through the rituals that express our love for God and our desire to be faithful, God loves that. It's honoring and acceptable to God. But when our rituals, our worship, our singing, our prayers don't line up with the compassion we show for our neighbors, our worship actually becomes offensive to God. Isn't that amazing? That you can tithe, and you should, you know, 10% more. Give to God. Give to the poor. Come here and pray. Take communion. Be baptized. Go through all these rituals. They can actually be helpful in encouraging you in your life in Christ and encouraging the body of believers with you. But if we are not living lives of compassion out in the world, then all of this is not just hollow. It's an affront to God. Listen to what the prophet Isaiah says. This is Isaiah chapter 58. Talking about fasting, the people ask, "Why do we fast, but you do not see? Why humble ourselves, but you do not notice?" And the answer comes, "Look, you serve your own interest on your fast day and oppress all your workers. Look, you fast only to quarrel and to fight and to strike with a wicked fist. Such fasting as you do today will not make your voice heard on high. Is such the fast that I choose? A day to humble oneself? Is it to bow down the head like a bulrush and to lie in sackcloth and ashes? Will you call this a fast, a day acceptable to the Lord? Is not this the fast that I choose? To loose the bonds of injustice, to undo the thongs of the yoke, to let the oppressed go free, and to break every yoke. Is it not to share your bread with the hungry and to bring the homeless poor into your house? When you see the naked, to cover them and not to hide yourself from your own kin. Then your light shall break forth like the dawn and your healing shall spring up quickly." And on he goes. You get the idea? That our worship of God is to be expressed in our compassion for others, for one another, and for our neighbors, and as Jesus says, even for our enemies. Making righteousness our main pursuit in life is very self-centered, or can be, if we misunderstand what righteousness is all about. If we think that we should be all about getting ourselves right with God, looking good before God, we may never pursue the love that is actually the way to righteousness. True righteousness in the Bible is about right relationships. It's about shalom. It's about love being expressed in our relationships. As Paul says in Galatians chapter 5, the whole law is summed up in a single commandment. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. If we pursue righteousness, we may never, ever get around to loving. If we pursue love, we'll become righteous. Go and learn what this means, Jesus says. I desire mercy, not sacrifice. And so Jesus is spending time with sinners and tax collectors and anybody who will hear the invitation and come to him. He sits at the meal with them, and they ask, "Why is your teacher there sitting with tax collectors and sinners?" It's like asking a physician, "What are you doing in the hospital? This is what I signed up for. This is why I came." And we could say the same thing about each one of us who says we want to follow Jesus, because this is what it means to follow Jesus. It's for us also to go and be a doctor in the hospital or a blessing out in the world, showing compassion to those that our world looks down on. That we're called to follow this way of Jesus. And so as I've been thinking about this word, EAT, an acronym keeps coming to my mind. The E would be for extending, the A for arms, and the T toward. That the kind of eating that we want to be doing is extending our arms toward others, like Jesus did. He was always extending his arms toward others. And so what are the ways in which we can do that in our lives? And before I talk about that, I just want to say that there are some things that keep us from doing that. You know, for Jesus and his disciples, it could have been the judgment of the world around. Like, you're not really supposed to hang with those people. That if you do that, if you make friends with them, if you go walk with them, if you go talk with them, people are going to think you accept their lifestyle, that you are one of them. That didn't stop Jesus. He didn't mind if the religious, righteous people said the wrong things about him. You know, sometimes it's the judgment of the world around us that keeps us, not the righteous, the religious people, but we're afraid of what other people might think, and so we don't reach out. We don't walk with people. We don't invite them to eat with us. What's getting in the way for you? Maybe it's a sense of safety, like pushing beyond the boundaries of what feels comfortable for you. This in terms of following, this is that following through, like me going out to run the other day. You know, just do it, just do it. Don't think too much about it. Like maybe for us, we need to name the fears if we have to, and yet step through them. Name the discomfort that we're feeling about reaching out, about inviting somebody over, about going out for dinner, and just do it anyway. Because I know for me, most of the time when I actually get out the door and I do what I'm thinking about, it's a lot of fun, you know? You go over and get out of the house, you do what it is when you're with other people. What is it that gets in the way? I know for me, one of the huge ones is busyness. Like I really want to make friends with people outside of the church, but I'm so busy with the people in the church that it's hard for me to build relationships outside. I got to do something about that. Pastor Jonna was talking about this prayer seminar they had yesterday where one of the pastors was talking about that and how she realized that she had to shift her time a little bit so that she could actually not just pray for her neighbors, but spend time with them. And what's getting in the way for you to eat, to extend your arms toward others? Because we've got to do this. And we can do this in a number of different ways. One of them would be to share a meal. You have to invite somebody to eat with you. Come on over to dinner. I'm thinking about this with some of the neighbors in our neighborhood that I've been praying for them. Maybe it's time for us to actually have them come, have a, you know, join us for a party or join us for dinner or, you know, maybe go out for dinner together. But so much does happen when we actually sit down with people. Are there some people you've been praying for that God's been putting on your heart, that it actually is time to say, hey, let's go out to dinner, or why don't you come over for lunch? Another thing we can do is just go out for a cup of coffee. It doesn't even have to be a whole meal. Just say, hey, I've been thinking about you. You know, how about if we get together? Let's get a cup of coffee tomorrow. You know, Jim and I are doing that tomorrow. I know where he is with the Lord. I'm so thankful for that. But to think of doing that with other people where I'm not sure where they are. Maybe they're all alive in Jesus and maybe they're not, but what a chance to get to know them and ask them, you know, about their spiritual life maybe. Just like, have you ever been to church or what's going on? You know, what do you think about God? But over a cup of coffee, you can get those conversations that you might not be able to get just over the fence as you're walking the dog. Other things that we can do include going out of our way to connect. You know, this is part of that thing of pushing through our comfort zones or what's convenient for us. But, you know, is there a colleague at work where you just got to get over it and reach out to that person, say, hey, let's have lunch today together, tomorrow together. Maybe it's at the school and saying, you know what, I'm going to go out of my way to connect with that kid at the lunch table who's sitting by themselves. Invite them to come sit with me or I'll go sit with them. But could we go out of our way to build some relationships in our neighborhoods, at home, wherever it might be. And finally, you know, that we would pursue activities that open up opportunities to build relationships. New relationships, like I'm thinking pickleball. I don't know how many of you were here Thursday, but, you know, we're having on Thursdays pickleball here in the gym. It's a blast. And you invite people from the community to come in. We get to know one another, or you can do that elsewhere. Sports for me has always been a good way. I know music is a great way, too. Play in a band in the community or go to a concert with a neighbor or a friend. But it's a way to connect with people. But are there ways you could pursue opportunities? Here at church, there are a lot of great ways. And I want to encourage you to do this, like I was talking with the kids about, is to invite people to come here to Salem, to worship on Sunday mornings for sure. But there are a lot of other opportunities as well. Now, things like the Thanksgiving Eve service actually could be a nice time. Come and give thanks to God with us, and we have some desserts afterwards. Come to FICA, beginning of December, Saturday. It'll be great food and kind of a celebration. Come to our second Sunday of the month lunch. That's today, by the way. And if you haven't been before, come and let the people of the church see if we're actually doing what I'm talking about today. If we extend our arms towards you, I'm praying, I know we will, right? Everybody say amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. We're practicing, but we can practice right here. Look for somebody you haven't sat with before and do that. Invite somebody to next month's second Sunday of the month lunch. We've got actually next Sunday this Dine Local event. It's in the bulletin that you received. It's a wonderful event coming up next Sunday. A bunch of people are going to lunch together. Be a part of it. Get to know some others. It's actually at this restaurant where they've hired people who have been incarcerated in the past. So it's a great way to get to know this kind of a justice initiative that's going on there. But think about what are ways in which you can pursue opportunities to build relationships, whether new ones or deeper ones. This is what it means to follow through. It does mean praying. It does mean practicing listening, but it also means extending our arms toward others. I want to encourage you to pick up one of these little wristbands, to wear it, to let it be a reminder to pray and a reminder to extend your arms toward others, that we might encourage others into new life in Christ and into this life of mission together. Amen? Amen. Let's pray together. Lord, thank you so much for the privilege of serving you, of being a part of your mission in the world. Thank you for all those through the ages who have heard your call and not just come to receive your love, but become a part of sharing your love with the world. Help us to be among those, God. Help us to extend our arms, your arms, out into our world. We pray in Jesus' name, amen.